It's hour number two of the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. With Jason Foster, I'm Chad Holmes. If you missed any of the first hour, if you missed any of the program, don't forget that we do post this on our podcast page at bullfallsradio.com. Just click on sports, click on the Big High School Sports Show logo, and you'll be able to hear this program and previous programs of the Big High School Sports Show. And you can also get it wherever you get your podcast. Starting off hour number two, as we do each week, it is our student athlete guest. And this week, we are very happy to welcome from Stevens Point Area Senior High their outstanding junior defensive back, Jackson Spees. And Jackson, first of all, thank you for spending a few minutes with us.
Yeah, of course. I'm happy to be on.
Well, number one, it's great to have you on. As I think, if I'm not mistaken, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but with your 8 interceptions so far this season, are you currently the number one interceptor in the state of Wisconsin?
Yes, I am.
I thought you might know, but congratulations on what's been an outstanding start to the season for you and your teammates. And obviously, a year ago, Stevens Point Area Senior High had a bit of a rough season, winning just twice and missing the playoffs. And this year, after playing a very good McQuonago team in week one, you've won 6 games in a row right now, solo possession of first place in the Valley Football Association. What's been the key so far for your team to make such a major turnaround from what was a disappointing year a year ago?
I think our biggest problem last year was we didn't play as a team, and we had a lot of individuals on the team, which didn't help to our overall success to make playoffs and go far in playoffs. And I think this year that mentality has totally changed with our coaches, like just putting that into our minds that we need to be a team, and if we want to succeed, then everybody has to play as a team and we can't have individuals on the field.
Hey Jackson, how you doing? We had your coach on earlier in the season, and he had a lot of good things to say about obviously this team and the big jump you've made from year one to year two. Obviously, some really good things have happened through 7 weeks of the season. In season, what kind of things did you guys do in the off season last year, this summer, that you think has played a big role in getting you to where you are right now?
We put in the work. We were in the weight room every week. You know, with Panther Fitness in the, like, 6 a.m. in the morning every day. We had meetings, we did installs during the summer, and we really just changed everything, which has really, again, helped us in our success this season.
How's it been different with the coaches? You mentioned last season was a first year for the coaching staff, and I know there's a lot of turnover within the coaches. Was having that second year together something that was very big for the success you've had so far this year?
Yes, for sure. The first year, we didn't know the coaches as well, so it was kind of like just we weren't as personally connected. And this year, it's totally changed. We know the coaches, we love the coaches, and we love having them lead us in the games, and it's just really just helped us a lot.
What type of leadership do you get from your teammates? Like you said, the coaches are great leaders, and I think it's awesome that you use the word love. I think it's great when kids talk about that, and I mean, speaks to how important football is and the role it plays in your lives. But what type of leadership do you bring to the team, and what type of leadership do you get from some of your teammates?
I think the leadership that I bring to the team is I try to lead by example the best I can, because I realized earlier in my career I'm not a great vocal leader, and so I let my teammates do the vocalization while I just try to do the best I can by leading by example.
Again, we're talking to Jackson Spees from Stevens Point Area Senior High, our student athlete guest this week on the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Was there a point this season that the belief factor started to really grow for your squad? Because learning how to win is something that takes a little time, especially when you didn't have a lot of success as a team a year ago. Was there any specific moment this season that maybe said, hey, this could be a special season for you and your squad and your teammates?
I think after we beat Hudson in week 2, I think we really realized that we had something on the table and we could make a run deep. And just compared to last year, just getting destroyed by Hudson, it really felt good to come out and beat them. And I think that was a good turning point early in the season that has really helped us go on this 6 win streak and overall great success.
Yeah, that was, I remember that. That was kind of a surprising win. I think that's kind of where it turned some heads for people kind of watching the conference and wondering who and what Spash is going to be after the week one loss to McGuanago. All right, we got to talk about these interceptions. How many interceptions did you have last year, Jackson?
I played on JV last year and I had 7 interceptions.
You had 7 interceptions on JV? Holy man. So what is the secret to your success? Are you a ball hawk? Are you super fast? Is it that you're really good? Do you do a lot of film studies so you have a good idea what's coming ahead of time? What is your secret to so many interceptions?
I like to read the quarterback, and I think that's my best ability, and that's where I'm the best for sure. But also just the coaches really understand how to play us all well, which helps a ton. And especially coming from like freshman year, it was a really big change, and the coaches just helped me with that so much.
Are you guys playing a lot of man, a lot of zone, or a little bit of both?
A little bit of both.
When you look back at, this season, obviously Coach Foster and myself saw you in person one time. But you had half your interceptions in that one game a couple of weeks ago over at Tom Field against Wausau West. And going into that game, obviously, it was a battle for first place in the conference. Both your teams were undefeated going into that game in the conference. And your team was able to really play, I thought, a very impressive football game and be able to force, I think, depending on how you score it, 7 or 8 turnovers. I think 7 defensively and then another one on the special teams. What was the key number one for yourself in that football game where you just happened to be in the right place at the right time to get 4 picks? And generally as a defense to be able to hold down that Wausau West team to only 7 points.
So when I was going into the game, I knew that they had a fast receiver, Carter, number 10. And so I knew that I didn't want to get beat deep by him, so I tried to stay over the top of him as much as I could, and then it just ended up working out really well for me. Staying over the top and then reading the quarterback and seeing what he does.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I was most impressed about not only you, but your entire defense that game, I mean, obviously 8 turnovers is just unbelievable, so congratulations to that and the win. But I think what was most impressive to me is as many times as you gave your offense the ball, you were still only up 7-0 at halftime. So there was definitely the potential there for your defense to say, hey, offense, are we gonna start scoring some points here or what's going on? So the fact that no matter what happened when your offense came out on the field, you guys, just every opportunity that you stepped on the field, you made something big happen. What is the mindset to that? Like the offense versus the defense and who's carrying their weight? And it's a little bit different from week to week. What is the mindset with a team like Spash, who definitely 2 platoons and don't have very many, if any, guys going both ways?
So our mindset is we got to battle and practice every single day. Got to go at each other, and that's how we make each other better. And then some games the offense does better, some games the defense does better, and we just got to, figure out what's going on during the game and then go from there.
Again, talking to Jackson Spees from Stevens Point Area Senior High here on the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230. We'll get back onto the gridiron in just a few moments, but let's talk about other sports that you may play and your favorite classes in school. Number one, are you involved in any other sports besides football?
Yes, I play hockey and I run track.
In hockey, what's your position?
I play center.
And in track and field, what are your positions? What are your events, I should say?
I run the 400.
You have 3 sports that you're involved in: football, hockey, and track. Your coaches, I'm sure, are not listening, so you can be completely honest. Do you have a favorite sport?
Yeah, it's definitely football.
That's the right answer, Jackson. Nice job. What is it that, obviously, those sports keep you super busy, and I would imagine the stuff you do in the off season for all 3 of those sports keeps you very busy as well. What do you like to do when you're not participating in sports?
I like to either go hunting, fishing, or hang out with my friends. And then if I'm not doing that, then I'm getting an extra work.
When you're away from all the good fun with the sports and your other activities, when you're in school, do you have a favorite class in school?
Yeah, this year my favorite class is Intro to Health Science. And I like Intro to Health Science because in the future I want to pursue being a physical therapist. And so I decided that taking some health classes and some physical therapy classes in high school would be a good idea.
Do you see yourself, in addition to going into that field of study, participating in any sports at the next level?
Yeah, if the opportunity presents itself, I would definitely like to play college football.
Another question about being a multi-sport athlete. Are you able to carry, say, momentum from a good football season, say, onto the ice when you go with the Panther hockey team, and then if you're able to continue success, take that to the next sports in the spring? Does success carry on? Do you get confidence that you can transfer from sport to sport?
Yeah. When I have a good season in football, it always just gets me really pumped up for the next sport that comes around, and it just makes it I just get really excited.
What game on the schedule? So when you come into this season, what is the game, knowing last year maybe didn't go as well as everyone had hoped at the varsity level, new coaching staff? When you look at the schedule, who is your rivalry in the Valley Football Association? Which game do you circle and say, these are the guys, no matter what happens this season, we need a win this week?
I would say Rapids and West for sure, because obviously going for the jug against Rapids. And then West is always the top team to beat in the conference. So going in there, we were really prepared, really excited to play, and which has helped us at the top of the conference this year.
As we get towards the end of the season, obviously, number one, you're still playing for a conference championship, trying to finish off with a couple of wins in the final 2 weeks of the regular season. Does anybody allow themselves to even think ahead towards the excitement of playoffs, or is it really a day-by-day, practice-by-practice, game-by-game mentality for you and your teammates?
It's definitely a day-by-day, game-by-game, because we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, because that's the worst thing that could happen for us. Just for us to get complacent, that would not be good, because we need to finish out these two games. Our shield is no gimme. And so, because they won conference last year, and they're the ones who made us, like, concealed our non-playoff hopes for last year. So, yeah, we just got to go in and we got to get revenge, get a win, and then go into the next week, get a win against Appleton West, and then the conference will be ours.
Great, great attitude. So you're obviously having a fantastic season as an individual on defense. Who are the other guys on your defense who make it so solid and make it special? Who are the other leaders, and who stands out on your defense?
People who stand out on our defense is, I would say, Bridger, Rosca, and Riley and Eli, because they're the main leaders on the defense, and everybody follows them, and if they say something, gets everybody hyped. So we need a good starter on the team to hype everybody up and make sure that nobody's falling behind.
When you look at yourself, obviously you've had a fantastic season with all these interceptions and everything else that you're being able to do on the field. What are the areas that you say, hey, I still need to take steps forward? Obviously you have still time left this season and coming back next year as well. What are the areas that you think that you can still take strides forward in terms of making your game even better?
I think I need to get a little bit faster, and I think I need to get a little bit better in the man coverage.
And when you again look at this week's game, let's talk about Marshfield. You said it. They're a team that's going to, in all likelihood, be in the playoffs again this season. They've already won three conference games, so they're in pretty good shape. As you prepare for Friday night and obviously trying to, again, get a big W, what's been jumping out in terms of your preparation for this week's game against Marshfield? Anything that you're going to be looking at that the Tigers are going to try to do, and what your team is going to try to stop when you're on defense?
So first off, we got to stop the run. I mean, they have some pretty big dudes, and that's obviously going to be tough, so we have to be physical. And then once we stop the run, then they're going to go to the receivers, which are pretty tall, and Burks is really good, so it's going to be a fun test against them, and I'm excited to play them.
Is the trademark of your defense, getting back to that just a little bit, would you guys consider yourselves to be more fast and athletic, and that's what makes you good? Or is it kind of your toughness and you like to impose your will on your opposing offenses? What is, when you think of Smash football, what is it you want people to think about your defense?
I think we have a little bit of both, but I like to think that we like to impose our will, because that makes everybody happy, and obviously that'll make the other team not want to play us as much.
And finally, we normally ask about, when we have a senior on, about maybe advice that they pass along to a younger member of the program. But you still being very much new to the varsity program and still have a lot of time left here with not graduating yet. What is the best piece of advice that you've had, you know, in terms of going through your high school athletic career? And obviously with three sports and being very busy, is there a piece of advice that you've received that you try to take as you go through your high school career?
Yeah, don't count yourself out, because that's what happened to me. The people counted me out, and last year, you know, on JV, we had a good JV team, but, you know, people counted me out, and so I like to come back, get working, and come back and prove everybody wrong next year.
And Jason, Coach Foster, anything else you'd like to ask Jackson?
Yeah, I don't think I have another question for him. I just want to say great job this season. I love what you guys are doing and the big jump you've taken from last year to this year. And I'm looking forward to see the outcome Friday night against Marshfield. I think that Marshfield has a tough team, and I think this is probably the one left on your schedule that you guys really need to clinch that conference championship. So good luck tomorrow, or Friday, I should say. Tomorrow's only Thursday.
Thank you, guys.
Jackson Spees, again, from the Stevens Point Area Senior High Panthers, our student-athlete guest here this week on the Big High School Sports Show. We're going to take a quick break, come back, finish up our recap of last week's action, and then look ahead as well to week number 8 of the season. So we'll be back in just a few moments. It's the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Welcome back. Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. With Jason Foster, I'm Chad Holmes. Two good interviews again. Two good guests. We always appreciate the fact that these coaches and student athletes come and join us and provide so much really good information.
Yeah, the very key guests this week too, as you look at that huge matchup with Medford and Mosinee, and I don't know, I'm a little bit intrigued by Spash and Marshfield. I feel like the last few years when we've had these co and tri champions in the VFA, yeah, there's always been that one surprise win that forced the hand and made those things possible. This is really the only shot left for somebody to take down Spash in conference, so I don't think it's going to happen, but I guess it wouldn't shock me if it did.
Yeah, I mean, Marshfield has done what they needed to do the last 2 weeks. They had that really tough game against Wausau West. They were able to, I think, steady the ship against Appleton West. I mean, obviously, it's hard to judge that, but at the same time, they were able to play tough football on the road at Wisconsin Rapids last week. It may not be pretty. 6-0 rarely is pretty, but boy, you get that third conference win, just a huge one for Marshfield, and they got to be feeling pretty good about themselves and coming back to play at home for the first time in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think the key to Marshfield, too, I don't think the West score is indicative of how good Marshfield has the potential to be. I think they gave up those two touchdowns really quick in that one and then took the wind out of their sails and have played a little bit better football since then. But you would have to shut down Spash's run game and their pass game, which is a pretty tall order for anybody at this point.
We still have a little to talk about in terms of last week's action. One more 11-player conference and then the 8-player games. Central Wisconsin Conference small. And interesting, again, in the sense that you got a Loyal team that had not won a game. They were winless going into last Friday, and they rolled Assumption 42-6. I mean, that's a big win for Loyal. They're 1-6 overall. They're 2-3 in the conference. So they are in actually pretty good shape in order to make it to the postseason playoffs. Assumption is 2-5. Overall, 1-4 in the conference. The thing about that is they have a forfeit coming up, and they have another game they probably should win. So they're in pretty good shape, to be honest with you, to make the playoffs. And just basically go over all the scores and then kind of talk about the CWC. Small. Iola Scandinavia, they are going to the playoffs. They are now 4-3 overall, 3-2 in the conference. They rolled past Rosholt by a score of 42-0. Hornets 0-7 overall, but 1-4 in the conference. And Pacelli got the Wild Rose forfeit, and then they played a non-conference game Saturday night, and they fell to Kingdom Prep Lutheran by a score of 28-18. So with the forfeit win, Pacelli is 2-3 in the conference. They are 2-5 overall. And you talked about projections, and of course, WisSports.net puts out the projections, and they have Assumption in the playoffs. They have Loyal in the playoffs. They have Pacelli in the playoffs. They have Iola in the playoffs. I'm a little surprised that in the end, and I think that Assumption win against Pacelli was actually the best thing for the conference because that allows Assumption to get in. Pacelli's going to find a way to get a third conference win here in the next 2 weeks. So in the end, of the five teams that are playing right now in the CWC small, four of them are going to get into the postseason playoffs.
Yeah, what's wild about that is we've kind of talked all year about how do any of the teams in the CWC small get in.
Because they were all 0-2 in the crossovers.
Right, and then you look at the CWC large, and they did the exact opposite. They had one win, and it probably eliminated four teams from making the playoffs, yeah. Or three, yes. Whatever it was.
Yes.
So what a wild situation, and you wonder, we've talked a little bit off air, what this looks like moving forward, and is there a fix to it? Because you're right, these teams will likely, and or potentially, maybe likely make the playoffs, but what will those week one matchups look like? Because it'll likely be either a 7 or an 8 seed going up probably against Edgar. An undefeated or one loss Edgar team in Edgar. So probably nobody's super excited about that potential, but you made the playoffs.
Exactly. 8-player football last week. I was over at Newman Catholic on Saturday. The Cardinals took on Marion Tigerton. Both teams came in at 2-3. Overall, and both teams were 1-1 in the conference, but Newman came out and played really good football. I mean, they played a solid football game. That's what the coach said after the game in the postgame. Newman 51, Marion Tigerton 6, Tyler Ackerman 7 of 11 passing, 91 yards. Wasn't asked to do a lot. He only played a half. He had 5 rushes for 77 yards and 2 touchdowns. I thought for sure he's going to hit 1,000 yards on the season last week, but he only got 5 carries, and he got removed from the game in the second half because he's such a vital, important player in the final 2 games of the regular season. But again, for Newman, I thought it was a good bounce back. You say 51-6, oh, Newman doing what Newman does. Again, this is not the same team that they had last season and the season before that won state championships. They had a rough go of it in Almond 2 weeks ago. And again, I listened to the coach. He said they played good football last week, and that says a lot for this crew that, again, is still an inexperienced team, but they put themselves in a position still to be in the mix with a couple of wins to try to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and a really nice game for Tyler. Probably nice for him to get out in the second half.
He's had so many hits this season because he plays both ways too.
And the other thing I noticed from that stat line too, number one, very efficient, very solid game, and very clean. No turnovers. I know that's been a concern for their offense kind of in the leading up to this week or in those tough losses for them taking care of the football. So it looks like they did a nice job of that last week.
Almond Bancroft is still in first place in the Central Conference in 8-player football. They defeated Wild Rose 55-24. Port Edwards is 2-1 in the conference, 4-2 overall. I still think they're going to have a hard time getting there because they lost to Newman earlier. They still have Almond coming up on their schedule, but they did defeat Tri-County 55-14 on Friday. And in the CWC East, there were not any close games, to say the least. Thorpe, 52, Athens, nothing. Thorpe is now 5-1 overall, 3-0 in the conference. Athens, 3-3 overall, 1-2 in the conference. Denzel Sutton, big night for Thorpe. 10 of 14 passing, 227 yards, 3 touchdowns, added 7 carries, 102 yards, and a touchdown. Logan Hansen, 9 rushes for a gaudy 20 yards per carry, 181 yards, and a touchdown for Thorpe. Also in the CWC East, it was Gilman doing what Gilman has done all season. They're undefeated, 6-0 and 3-0 in the league. 53-0 over Alma Center Lincoln. And Owen Withy, they got a replacement game. They had Greenwood forfeit, and Owen Withy defeated Valley Christian 50-8. thing is, I've seen these programs over the years when they were in the Cloverwood, when Newman was in the Cloverwood, and teams like Thorpe and teams like Gilman and teams like Owen Withy, them now being an eight player has made eight player a much stronger division.
Yeah, actually, probably exciting. We talked a little bit earlier, Coach Micklegg kind of in a transition period. I mean, they're potentially going to end up 5-3, could miss the playoffs at 5-3. But like you said, overall, they're in a good position. And I think playing these tough games with a young, brand new team, there's a lot to be learned and a lot to be gained each week. And I think where it's really going to make for some more exciting football is in that playoff run in eight-man. Should make for some good games down the stretch.
Yeah, you look at it, you know, in a sense, and I said this off the air, where you're going to see 3-6 teams make the playoffs in 11-player football and 5-3 teams miss the playoffs in 8-player football, that something has to be adjusted. But in the end, I don't think it's a horrible thing where you have 16 really good teams that make it in the playoffs in 8-player, where, again, I think a team that goes 5-3 and has a winning record in their conference probably deserves an opportunity to play in the postseason. But at the same time, I would rather have a situation like that where maybe a good team feels like, you know, we should have been in there, than the case of where we have multiple teams that really, again, not to take anything away from anybody that gets an opportunity to continue playing, but it will lead to, again, I think some very difficult level one games. We have to make some tweaks, I guess, is the way to put it.
Yeah, and I think to some extent, eight-man is going to kind of drive that bus. I think that they're still the new kid on the block. I think that they're growing overall, and I think it's at some point going to force the hand of the WIAA and say, how do we tweak and change what it looks like for eight-man? And what are the possible solutions? And I'm certainly not looking for any enemies here. But, like, what is, as we get more eight-man teams, is there a time when we don't need seven divisions of 11-man football anymore? I mean, which is probably the first thing you look at when you look at what happened in basketball and some of these other sports.
And the whole thing about it is, as well, at some point, could you go to two divisions in eight-player? I mean, again, I think the whole idea of even how the enrollment is, where there's an idea where if you're over 200, you should be basically able to get a team to play 11-man. But nowadays, we see so many 11-player teams that even in larger than 200, 300, that have a hard time getting a team together, that maybe there could be a larger school division, because just generally we see fewer kids maybe coming out for football in certain areas, and still we'd like to give the opportunity for those that do want to play, and eight player does give more opportunities where you don't need to have, say, 35 players to have a roster that works for you. Maybe you can, you know, have a roster of 20 to 25 players and still be able to do it on the eight-player side. I guess the point I'm trying to make is that we got to, you know, get people together and start thinking about how to grow the game of football in the state of Wisconsin, where we don't have talking about so many teams that are either forfeiting games or forfeiting seasons and not playing varsity football.
Yeah, I think, and I may have mentioned this in past weeks at some point, but I've also heard stories where there's places in the state where people are playing eight-player football based on geography and availability. Like, maybe they're just on the cusp, and maybe they do have enough to maybe throw together an 11-man team, but there's no other 11-man teams in the area. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the lens in which you approach it or look at it through. And I think I think you have to take into account geography like you do in any realignment proposal for any sport or conference, but also what's best for growing the game, and at what point does eight-man football become just something you have to do out of necessity because you don't have enough players, versus being the true legitimate option that is a competitive this is the process for getting there, and this is what the postseason looks like, and maybe it continues to grow that way. And and I think it'll always be up for debate, and I do think that it is growing, and I do think the conversations are happening, much like everything else with the WIA. It is definitely a process, though not always a speedy process.
It certainly is. We have to take a time out, but we're going to look ahead to week number 8 of the regular season. Some big matchups to talk about as we continue here on the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. We'll be right back.
And welcome back, Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Quick note again, if you miss any of the program or want to hear it again, you can do it numerous different ways. You can get our show wherever you get your podcasts. You can also go to BullFallsRadio.com/sports and then click on the Big High School Sports Show. So, again, there's ways to listen to our previous broadcasts of this show. And also, real quickly, coming up on Friday night, we don't have one, we don't have two, but we have three games that can be heard live on the app and on BullFallsRadio.com. I'll be with the Wausau West Warriors on Friday night, traveling to Hortonville. That game will be heard here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230, online at BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:35. Also on Friday night, the Marathon Red Raiders and the Pittsville Panthers, must-win game for both those squads, and looking to get to the playoffs. That game can be heard on the Sports 2 stream. Again, Sports 2 on the Civic Media app or on BullFallsRadio.com. And Newman Catholic at Wild Rose, 6:35 pregame on the Sports 3 stream of the Civic Media app and on BullFallsRadio.com. So, again, the easiest way to go back and forth between the games, have it on your phone. Just go to your app store, download the Civic Media apps, search out Civic Media, download it, and then the fifth station down, all the stations of Civic Media will be on the app. Just find Bull Falls Radio. And on Friday night, hit the primary stream to listen to Wausau West, Sports 2 for Marathon, Sports 3 for Newman Catholic. Again, with Jason Foster, I'm Chad Holmes. And again, lots of football Friday, lots of football here, lots of football generally. And the Valley Football Association, the first place Stevens Point Panthers, travel to Marshfield to take on the Tigers. Smash 6-1 overall, 5-0 in the conference. Marshfield 3-4 overall, 3-2 in the conference. And Stevens Point right now is just a red-hot football team. Again, a surprise football team? Yeah, I would say so. But a red-hot football team, winners of 6 in a row.
Yeah, and I would say, talking with our student guests tonight, I certainly didn't read any overconfidence maybe looking to the postseason. I would say that they seem to be dialed in and that Marshfield definitely has their work cut out for them if they're going to get an upset Friday night.
What about Marshfield? You saw them against West. I saw them against West a few weeks ago. It was not a good night for Denny Gadel's team. But again, they do have talent out there. They always have athletes. They tend to have them both on the football field and on the basketball court. What did you see from that team, even beyond the way they played? Did you see the seeds of something that could be a difficult matchup for Stevens Point?
I don't necessarily think it's the seeds. I think it's just who and what Marshfield is. I think you hit it on the head right now. They are in a time, and have been for many years now, probably 5+, where they have a great run of athletes. Mm-hmm. They work really hard in the weight room and football, basketball, wrestling. I mean, they're rolling right now. And I think what happened in the West game, I think, was a little bit of an anomaly for them. They're not a great football team. I mean, they definitely are missing some pieces to put the full puzzle together. However, they have the ability and the history and the pedigree to put together a really good game on any given Friday night. And I look at what Spash did to West that night and made West look very uncharacteristic. I look 2 years ago when West did the exact same thing to Spash when they came in with a hot quarterback and looked unbeatable. And I think this has that same kind of possible feel to it. Marshfield has taken more lumps this year than either of those other teams had in past years, but certainly has the ability to win this football game. Spash definitely favored, though.
The two teams that are rooting very hard for Marshfield to knock off Stevens Point to give themselves a chance at a share of the conference championship are Wausau West and Hortonville. And the Warriors travel to Hortonville, as I said, in a game that we will have right here on Bull Falls Radio on Friday night. Warriors 6-1 overall, 4-1 in the conference. Hortonville, after starting 1-2 overall, have won 4 games in a row. They're 5-2 and 4-1 in the conference. And again, for Wausau West, boy, two big cogs are out with Ray Reinick with his ankle injury, not going to play at running back, and Bryce Jaworski out for the season with his knee injury. And this Hortonville team with a solid defense. I mean, this is a real intriguing matchup. But you talk about the Hortonville defense, the Warriors have a terrific defense as well. This one may have the seeds of a
a game where if you get to 21st, you might be in good shape.
Yeah, I think it, I think this game aligns to be very similar to the Everest game. I think Everest went into that game with some of the same ills offensively that maybe Wausau West does, with some injuries. I think that historically Wausau West struggles when they make the trip over to Hortonville. I don't think Hortonville brings much to the table offensively. I hope I don't regret saying that at some point, but I think it's going to be, I think that's the one thing. You have Ray Reinick, you have big, you have Carter Amerson, so I think that gets a lot of attention. I think one of the things that people have not talked enough about this year, if you take away the Spash game, and even in the Spash game, of all the bad things that happened, it was a 7-0 game at halftime. So if you look up the first half points that Wausau West has given up, it's almost non-existent. So I think you hit it on the head. I think who gets to 21st in this one probably walks away with the win.
DC Everson, Wausau East. A return of a crosstown rivalry after a few years. The game will be played at Tom Field. Evergreen's 5-2 overall, 3-2 in the conference. Jacks are 2-5 overall, 1-4 in the league. Again, both Bankston kids, I think, out. I know for sure Caden and also, but so obviously that's a big loss for DC Everest. Logan George still playing very solid quarterback. Obviously their defense was solid last week as well. But Wausau East, they got that little danger factor with the Caden Worth. We saw him run a kick for a touchdown against West. He's got that big play ability. We got Pacey Weber's got the big play ability. For East, if they get a big play or two early, it may not be as easy for Everest to put up big numbers with their offensive, you know, limitations with the run game.
Yeah, I think.
Again, I'm looking at the potential for this. I think DC Everest goes in as a significant favorite. But again, you see the I think the seeds of East being able to be very competitive in this game.
Yeah, I see East hanging around in this one, probably to some extent in the first half. I think what hurts East in the games where they have gotten blown out early is the teams that just dominate the line of scrimmage and are able to run the football. So I do not know who RB3 for the Evergreens is and what he'll bring to the table. I would say the matchup in the trenches is Everest probably or definitely would have the advantage up front. Do they have somebody who can kind of roll over them like some of the other teams did? If not, then I think this game stays interesting a little bit longer.
And I think the other game, Wisconsin Rapids, will take out some frustration. I mean, they had two games in a row where they win one of them against Everest or against Marshfield. They're in a position, as amazing as it would sound, to be going to the playoffs, but they travel to, you know, they're winless. Appleton West is winless, but for Wisconsin Rapids, I mean, they still have a tough defense. They're still a run team. It's going to be a tough night for Appleton West.
Yeah, Rapids is going to rush for a lot of yards on Friday night. I mean, that's the one thing that Rapids has proven, even in their loss in those low-scoring games, is they are putting up some decent yards rushing the ball, and I think they will get a bunch early and often in this one.
Great Northern Conference, Mosinee and Medford. We talked a lot about it with Coach Stoffel earlier, but Mosinee 6-1, 5-0. Medford 6-1, 5-0 on the Raiders' home field. But as we heard, being on the turf does not hurt Mosinee for their offense. So it takes away some of the home field advantage. But boy, Mosinee, especially those defensive numbers, just incredible this year.
Yeah, I think you took the words right out of my mouth. Does the turf help Keegan Dershley and their offensive attack and the special things he can do on special teams? However, is the equalizer, I mean, defense wins this football game one way or the other, and is Medford's ability to consistently run the football, if they can do it, enough to maybe control the pace of play and keep Mosinee's offense off the field? I think if this game is competitive in that low 20s, I think it's a football game. I think if Mosinee has the opportunity to get big plays, that maybe they win by a couple scores.
Hayward at Lakeland. Lakeland again. they really want the season to start in September because they've had some trouble early on, but they are looking for a fourth straight win to get back to 500. 3-4, 3-2 in the conference. Hayward, they need a win. They're 2-3 in the conference. They need a W, 4-3 overall. But Lakeland, again, it's just interesting how this team, again, we talk about the schedules. I mean, obviously, a lot of it has to do with the schedule, but they're playing good football.
Yeah, and if you look, and we'll talk about the other two in a second, but if, I mean, Hayward goes to Lakeland. Lakeland's struggled. I mean, they're winning lately, but even last week, it took two fourth-quarter touchdowns to win. I mean, Hayward goes in there, steals one from Lakeland, and you're looking at the potential for six of these eight teams to make the playoffs.
And speaking of one of those teams, Antigo, and this is a must win. They have the long trek to Ashland. They have Medford in week 9. So obviously that's going to be a tough one. For the Red Robins, an opportunity to get that third conference win, which would likely put them in the postseason. But again, I mean, it's a definitely not a shoe-in to take that trip on the road, as they've struggled offensively quite a bit this season as well.
Yeah, and that is a long trip for them. And Ashland playing at home, I don't know, it's probably a fairly good chance it's Ashland's homecoming too, and you see what that does.
And Rhinelander at Merrill, and it is Merrill's homecoming Saturday afternoon at Jay Stadium. Rhinelander 4-3, 2-3 in the conference. Merrill looking for that first win, but Rhinelander struggled, but they need to find a W themselves.
Yeah, I think this is the one where Rhinelander started the year strong. I think this is their opportunity to pick up that win and get them one step closer to the playoffs, and I think they're probably going to have a strong showing on Saturday.
Much like the GNC, the Merrillwood has a massive matchup for the conference championship, basically. Auburndale 7-0, 5-0. Edgar 7-0, 5-0. But boy, that Edgar team, I mean, Auburndale got away with one last week coming from behind against Abbotsford. Edgar, they've been taking no prisoners recently. It's going to be us in Edgar. Auburndale will try to do. They did it last season in week 9 where they beat Colby to get a share of the conference championship. So they had a big late season road win. But boy, this Edgar team looks good.
Yeah, I think Edgar's defense is probably what is the difference in this game. Probably not what Auburndale has seen up to this point, and kind of where Edgar hangs their hat. And the fact that it's at Edgar, too, I think it probably tilts the favor to them, and probably significantly.
Another game that will be significant, a game that can be heard on the Sports 2 stream of BullFallsRadio.com and the Civic Media app on Friday night, and also on tape delay following the West game, is, I think, a playoff game. I mean, Pittsville and Marathon. Pittsville got off to that great start. They have lost 3 in a row since getting into the Merrillwood portion of their schedule. They're 4-3, 2-3, Marathon 3-4, 2-3. Again, the winner in all likelihood goes to the playoffs. The loser in all likelihood probably does not go to the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think I'm excited to see this one because we know Marathon can put up the numbers offensively. Pittsville, I think, has been one of the most consistent teams in this conference. I mean, they rushed the ball very well and kind of were scratching to be considered in the top 3 in this group. Kind of gave Auburndale a run for their money last week. So I think if Pittsville comes away big, then they got some things to look forward to down the stretch. If this game's closer, if Marathon pulls out a win, then maybe Pittsville isn't who I thought they were going to be.
Colby and Abbotsford. Colby and their great run defense, and Abbotsford and their terrific run offense. 6-1 Colby, 4-1 in conference, 5-2 Abby, 3-2 in conference. The run games, both Abbotsford and Colby like to run the football. Which one was going to be able to do the job?
Yeah, based on what you said and you saw last week, Colby's defense might be the difference maker in this one, and it can shut down. And like Edgar shut down Abbotsford's run too, does Colby do the same thing?
CWC Large, Stratford 6-1, 5-0 at Wyawega. Fremont 6-1, 4-1. You got to know it's going to be an exciting night in Wyawega. They have not had this kind of game probably on their home field very often in recent years, but Stratford is playing some really good football.
Yeah, and what does Stratford do? Do they completely shut down Wyawega Fremont's offense? Or does Wyawega Fremont come out of there at least maybe with a little confidence heading into week 9?
Other games in the CWC Large, Shiocton is at Wittenberg Burnhamwood, 1-6, 1-4 Shiocton, 6-1, 4-1 Whitburn. Amherst is at Nakusa. Amherst 4-3, 3-2, Nakusa 2-5, 1-4. Spencer Columbus looking for their second straight win. They're at Manoa. Both teams 1-4 in the conference. Got to move a little quickly as we're kind of running out of time here. CWC Small, Iola Scandinavia at Pacelli. That's an interesting game because last season Pacelli went to Iola, earned the win that put them in the playoffs. Pacelli needs to find another win in the last 2 weeks. They're in good shape, but they still want to find that next win to secure their playoff spot. Loyal is at Rochelt. Again, Loyal has an opportunity to make a late push to get themselves in the postseason. And Assumption will get the Wild Rose forfeit to get their second conference win, and they will host Aurora Catholic Central. And a player, as I said earlier, on the Sports 3 stream of BullFallsRadio.com and the Civic Media app, 6:35 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff. Newman and Wild Rose, both teams 3-3. Wild Rose basically 2-1 in the conference because they took over for a Bowler Gresham. So I think a very good matchup for the Cards on the road. Port Edwards is at Almond Bancroft, a big one in that Central Conference. Port is 4-2 overall, 2-1 in the conference. Almond Bancroft 5-1, 3-0. Tri-County is at Marion Tigerton. In a huge game in the eight-player statewide race, Thorpe 5-1 overall, 3-0 in the conference. At Gilman 6-0 overall, 3-0 in the league. Also Alma Center Lincoln at Owen Withy. Greenwood is at Athens. So wanted to get through all those games. We got about 90 seconds to go. As we look ahead, we see some significant games at the top of conferences, numerous conferences this week.
Yeah, I think some exciting matchups. Probably says a lot about Auburndale, what this match. I mean, we know Edgar's really good and certainly favored big in that, but if they, their offense can come in and compete, and then all those GNC schools looking to notch that victory that maybe puts them over the edge of the playoffs. And I think, I mean, I don't know if 3 weeks ago we would have looked at the Wausau West Hortonville game as being as impactful as it is, but if you look at that game and then next week, West and Everest, I think second place in the, I mean, most likely second place in the VFA, I think is completely up for grabs over the course of the next 2 weeks.
And potential home games in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, these are just huge games. I mean, for teams, I mean, there's such a big difference between trying to get a 3-4 seed or being stuck in a 6-7-8 game. I mean, yeah. It's like, you know, it's some big football games coming up this weekend. And for the first time, weather. I mean, really, we haven't had to deal with much weather this season, and it's going to be in the 40s on Friday night.
Yeah. We talked a lot about geography and schedules and playoffs and getting in and getting out. I think this is one of those things where geography of those Division I schools really kind of pigeonholes you. Like, some people don't really know from year to year where they're going to head, but this kind of VFA kind of gets tagged with a couple, whatever schools make it from the big rivers and then whatever's left from the east. And I think that 8-1, 7-2 makes it close.
We'll see you next week.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day?